Thank you, Peter. Good morning. Warm welcome to everyone to our church. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and here we all are, and we will all be richly blessed by being here. Warm welcome to everyone. It's good to see everyone here. Here's Rod and Susan all the way from Egypt. Good to see them here. Wow. Welcome. And good to see everyone else as well. Epiphany Sunday. Suitable welcoming people, because Epiphany means an arrival, a coming. And so on this particular day of the church year, we acknowledge and remember the arrival of the wise men who had come to worship the baby Jesus, or the infant Jesus at that time. And I welcome Howard. Thank you.
Morning. Just a few announcements today. Start off, refer you to the bulletin. All those that are responsible for annual reports, please get them into Michelle as soon as possible. Deadline is January the 9th. Mustard seed will be coming up on January the 19th for all of those who are preparing food and delivering food on the 19th. And then the congregational annual general meeting will be Tuesday, January the 25th at 7:30. And that's in the church here. And that's for everybody. Everybody is welcome to attend, and it's a good opportunity for everyone to get their input into the plans and discussions for the coming year. Bible study resumes this Thursday, and Sandy Reed notes we'll be going over the week 2, day 2 and 3 for all of you involved in the Bible study. And a reminder, this sounds like a bribe, but that we're having a potluck lunch that day. So that's Thursday of this week. Now, I have a letter here from the Cremona and District Santas Anonymous. Dear Pastor Ian Mason, the 2010 Cremona and District Santas Anonymous Committee wishes to acknowledge and thank you, Pastor Ian, and the Cremona Congregational Church for the continued donations, support, and assistance towards our program. There are numerous families that benefit from this program. It is through you and your church community that allows our committee to prepare gifts for the families in our community. Thank you, Ian, and thank your wonderful church community for this continued support. And that's from the Santas Anonymous Committee. So thanks for everybody that contributed and participated in putting the packages together. And finally, there's one more announcement in the bulletin, which I won't even attempt to explain, on the Ladies Christian Fellowship Spa, Friday, January the 14th, and I'll invite Kathy up to tell us all about that one.
Oh, ladies, we are so excited. We're going to have a spa night. Our ladies group is trying to reach out a bit and provide functions and activities that some of you who don't want to come to a monthly meeting but would like to be involved in our women's fellowship would like to come to. So Friday night, January 14th, we are having a spa night. And our young women have organized this. It's going to be fabulous. We're going to do hand massages and foot massages, and we've got ladies who are going to fix your nails and your toenails, and we're going to have girl-type food, and we're going to put on a movie, and we're going to eat popcorn. And so we're saying, wear your jammies or something comfy, because this is a girls' night out, just us to have a lot of fun. So you're all invited, and please invite a friend to come along too. This is just a really nice time for the ladies of the church and the community to get together. And I guess an aspect of this, we were going to have it on Saturday the 15th, but that's the date of the Women's Wellness Expo in Cremona, very important. And so we're going to focus on our spiritual wellness. The theme is serving with our hands and feet, and we're thinking about Martha and Mary. So please come and join us that evening. It's going to be a lovely night, and the more that come, the more fun we're going to have. So welcome everybody to that. Men, stay home.
I believe there is some ruling in the human rights which says that everybody's got to be invited. So, men, if you want to go to that spa evening.
My husband says, no problem, stay home.
Whilst we were proceeding through December, someone mentioned to me, oh, there's lots of birthdays in December. So I thought, okay. So I forgot to bring the birthday box in, but Iris has brought it. So let's celebrate December birthdays. If you had a birthday in December or prior to that and we missed you, now is your opportunity. Many happy returns to all of our birthday people. May you have many, many more. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in the book of Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness covers the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." We'll have our approach choruses, and I'd invite Cathy to come up and lead us, and Janice to accompany. Thank you.
Very first chorus of the new year is going to be "Because He Lives." He was born to us at Christmas, as we remember, and lived for us and still lives for us. So please stand, and we'll start with two times through on the chorus of "Because He Lives."
Because He lives,
one is pertains to the snowy roads out there this morning. We're going to sing "White as Snow." It's number 190 in the chorus book, if you're looking for it in the book. "White as Snow."
Through faith in you, I know that I can.
And our chorus to prepare our hearts for worship is found number 252 in the book. It's Be Still for the Presence. Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor He is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He came to cleanse and heal, to minister His grace.
Thanks to Kathy and Janice, the beautiful approach choruses. This coming week, January the 6th, is actually the Epiphany Day. And that is the day, by the way, when all of your Christmas decor has to be down by. January the 6th, is it Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday? But that's when it all has to come down by. And so when we come into our church next Sunday, all of this beautiful Christmas decor will be gone. And as that's going to happen, I think for the last time for this particular season, we should light our four Advent candles and the Christ candle. Howard, I didn't tell you beforehand, but would you light the candles? And perhaps Richard could lower the wreath and we'll light those candles. We remember the precious gifts of Christmas. Thank you. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we do thank You that You have given to each of us here this day this wonderful joy and privilege of being able to come together in this Your house on this Your day. And as we meet, gracious Father, we, in our hearts, we attempt to be still, to acknowledge the presence of our Lord. You, Lord, are with us. You promised that when we gather together in Your name, there You will be in the midst. And so as You join with us this day, gracious Father, we pray that You will open our hearts and open our minds, and that You will speak Your precious word to each and every one of us. And we pray also, Father, that You will accept the praise that we bring, for we come to seek honor and glory for the name of Jesus. We come to lift high His precious name and to worship Him, to worship You, Lord, for we come in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I meant to say at the beginning of the service, and I omitted to mention, it's nice to see Betty Ann Horby with us. Good to have you with us, Betty Ann. You always come home, don't you? Oh, for good? Really? Wow, isn't that something? Excellent. Lovely. Have they closed the branch down in Sundry, in Linden? Welcome home. It's good to have you with us. We will now have our reading from Howard.
Our responsive reading is from Psalm 72, verses 1 to 7, 15, 18 to 19. It's in your bulletins and on the screen, and I'll do the L. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth.
In his days may righteous flourish, and prosperity abound to the moon and
more. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
As we welcome people home to our church, we also welcome home Janice. It's good to have her with us this morning. And Janice is to present for us our special music. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful, Janice. Our thanks to you. Now then, put us out of our misery. Like, if everybody's like me, they're thinking, now what is that piece of music called? Sorry?
Still, still, still.
Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? Good. Thank you. Beautiful. Thanks, Janice. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, each and every one of us has so much to be thankful for. And so we thank you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts to you. They are humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Father, to accept the gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. If the children would like to come and join me, please. If your parents asked you to go somewhere to run an errand for them and you didn't know how to get there, what would you do? Yep. You would get a map. That would be a good idea. That'd be good. Your mum might write on, go down to the church and turn right and then go to this point, then turn left, and they would draw a map for us. Or we would ask for instructions, wouldn't we? Yep, yep. Now today is a special day in the church year. It's called Epiphany. Epiphany. Some people call it Wise Men Sunday. Now then, who do you think we remember on this particular day? Yeah.
The wise men that came to Jesus' manger that time.
That's right. The wise men.
We remember the wise men. And the wise men, how did they find Jesus? Did they have a map?
No.
Did Mum draw the map and give them direction?
No.
How did they get there?
The star.
They followed the star. God gave them a star and guided them to Jesus. Yep. Now, wise men and wise ladies and wise children, they still look for Jesus. And there's a banner in this church and it tells you what kind of people look for Jesus. Now, I want you to find that banner. It's on one of the walls in this church. Look around. There's a banner and it tells you what kind of people look for Jesus. What does it say, Luke? What does it say? The wise still seek him. So what kind of people look for Jesus? The wise. Wise people. So everybody who finds Jesus are the wise ones who are looking for Jesus. Now then, God hasn't given us a star to find Jesus, has he? How do we find Jesus? What has God given us to help us to find Jesus? That's right. They're good. Something else as well. And a heart. Look for the clues. What has God given us to help us to find Jesus?
A Bible.
That's good. And really, this is kind of like a map book. God's given us this. It's like a map book. And if we read the Bible every day, we will find Jesus. Because when you're looking for Jesus, you're looking for the right thing. You are wise. And God will make sure that you find Jesus. And that's the important thing to remember. So now we're going to say a little prayer together. Okay? So we put our hands together, close our eyes, and we say, Lord Jesus, we seek you today because we want to worship you and we want to crown you as our King. We thank you for our Bible and for all of the people who help us to find you. We pray in your name. Amen. Excellent. Thank you. We have a song. This is a budding preacher.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. So we're going to start with sing the baby in the manger, in the manger, in the manger. See the baby in the manger. Come with me and see. Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Dance your feet, all you people. Dance unto the Lord. Shepherds in the fields of watching. Shepherds in the fields of watching, come with me and sing. Clap your hands, all you people, clap your hands unto the Lord. Dance your feet, all you people, dance unto the Lord. Kings upon their camels riding, camels riding, camels riding. Kings upon their camels riding, come with me and sing. Clap your hands, all you people, clap your hands unto the Lord. Dance your feet, all you people, dance unto the Lord.
Our thanks to Kathy for the dancing and the singing. And now it's our turn. We stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn, I Cannot Tell Why He Whom Angels Worship. We stand and sing to God's glory.
Mysterious promise of new birth.
Come to our time of prayer, and as always in our time of prayer we have a short space of time there when we offer our own private prayers to the Lord for those whom he's placed on our hearts. And amongst those people, Dick Patino, we haven't seen Dick for a while, and I talked to him during the week there, and he hasn't got his driver's license right at the moment. He hopes it's only temporary. He says the doctors are looking into his eyes, checking out his eyesight. So that's why Dick is missing, but he sends his good wishes to all of his friends in the congregation here. And during the week, Iris and I went in to see Sheila. Norman, of course, was there at the same time, and we were quite thrilled at how upbeat Sheila was. She was bright, she was laughing, she was cheery, she was pleased to see the people who were visiting her. And when I asked her how she was, she says, "Oh, she's doing fine." She says, "We'll be at church on Sunday." Bless Sheila. And I think we all realise that Sheila is probably unaware of the total circumstances, of the situation that she is in. Norman is a bit more pensive, and he is turning things over in his mind and worrying about things. And
But you know, we try to reassure him that the Lord will watch over him and Sheila, and things will work out for them both. And the same applies to all of the people who he's laid on your hearts. God will take care of them. Shall we join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, as this new year looms before us, we know that in this year we will be faced with all kinds of different situations, some of them routine and some of them complete surprises. Our faithfulness in doing our duties and our courage in taking on new tasks will challenge us all along the way. And we thank you, Lord, that you have promised that you will never ever leave us or forsake us. But we know that things happen that sometimes cause us to have our own personal doubts. Help us, Father, in these circumstances to hold strong in the faith and to trust you always, especially when things happen to us that we cannot understand. May we continue at all times to sing your praises, even, Lord, and especially at the times when things seem dark. This new year, Lord, could be for some of us a time of life-changing decisions, things that may open new doors, new ventures, new challenges. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be with us, strengthen even our faintest inclinations to serve you, and help us daily, Father, to do your will. We thank you, Father, for our church family, through which you strengthen us and sustain us. May we continue to share your abundant love with all who join with us in your name and seek your salvation. May the light of your grace continue to shine, and may the lives of those who worship you here be richly blessed by your continuing presence. We ask your blessing, Father, upon the lives of those who suffer in any way. Each of us are aware of specific and special people who are in need of your healing presence in their lives and in their current circumstances. And so, gracious Father, now in the beauty of holiness, we whisper their names before your throne of grace, in the knowledge, Lord, that you will hear our prayers and that you will reach out and touch the lives for those whom we pray. We pray in silence. Almighty God, our Creator and our Father, as we prepare ourselves for a new week, and indeed a new year, we dedicate ourselves anew to you, to glorifying and uplifting your holy name in our lives, in our actions and in our words. Take our lives, Lord, and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Bless our homes, bless our families. Watch over them and keep them safe from all that would harm them. And grant us, we pray, the joy of your presence in our lives. We bow before you now, most holy Lord. We belong to you. You created us, and you know all of us so well. You know our needs, you know our hearts, and you know our motivations. Fill our lives, Lord, with your love. Forgive us for our sins, and grant us your peace. The peace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we bring to you all of these our prayers. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The gospel is St. Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, and the title is The Wise Seeking Jesus. When I open my Bible up here to read this, I'm reading for Sandy this morning. I find that they've made the printing a lot smaller, so try to bear with me here. That's even better, yeah. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was worried, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod brought together the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" They told him, "He will be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are very important among the towns of Judea. From your town will come a leader who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel.' Herod secretly called in the wise men and asked them when they had first seen the star. He told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, let me know. I want to go and worship him too.' The wise men listened to what the king said and then left, and the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him. Later, when they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back home by another road." And the epistle is from Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 12, and the title is Christ for the World. There it is. "In the past you were dead because you sinned and fought against God. You followed the ways of this world and obeyed the devil. He rules the world, and his spirit has power over everyone who doesn't obey God. Once we were also ruled by the selfish desires of our bodies and minds. We had made God angry, and we were going to be punished like everyone else. But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much that he made us alive with Christ, and God's wonderful kindness is what saves you. God raised us from death to life with Christ Jesus, and he has given us a place beside Christ in heaven. God did this so that in the future world, he could show how truly good and kind he is to us because of what Christ Jesus has done. You were saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve. This is God's gift to you and not anything you have done on your own. It isn't something you have earned, so there is nothing you can brag about. God planned for us to do good things and to live as he has always wanted us to live. That's why he sent Christ to make us what we are. Don't forget that you are Gentiles. In fact, you used to be called uncircumcised by those who take pride in being circumcised. At that time, you did not know about Christ. You were foreigners to the people of Israel, and you had no part in the promises that God had made to them. You were living in this world without hope and without God."
Thanks to Doug for those readings from the scriptures. Thank you. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 163, "As with Gladness, Men of Old." Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Epiphany Sunday. Wise Men Sunday. The day in our church calendar when we recall the visit of the Magi, or the wise men, to the infant Jesus. And of course today, the first Sunday of the year 2011. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year to you. I hope everyone has a great and wonderful year this year. Beginning of the year is the time when some people look forward to what's going to be hopefully happening in the new year, and some people look back and they think about the year that has passed. What, you may wonder, lies ahead for me in the year ahead? Or maybe, what did I achieve in the year that's passed? The Magi, the wise men, were seeking the Messiah. That was their objective. That's what they were doing. The Saviour of mankind was their objective. And because they were looking for that which God desired that they should find, their search was successful. Questions. Was I looking for the Messiah in the year 2010? In what areas of my life did I find Jesus in the year 2010? Or another question might be, was I looking in the right place or the right places for the Messiah in the year 2010? As you look forward across the months of 2011, what is your objective in life? The wise men were seeking Jesus. Do you intend to look for Jesus in the years that lie ahead? A boy was travelling in a car with his family, and they were crossing the prairies. And as he looked out of the window, he said, "Look how flat it is. I can look a lot further than I can see." Isn't that a great thing to say? I can look a lot further than I can see. And I think there are times in our own lives when we all attempt to look a lot further than we are able to see. And sometimes what we see is more of what's in our imagination than what is reality. On the subject of seeking the right or the wrong places, I came across a story which comes from the lives of the saints of Islam. And it concerns a king of Balkh. Now that's spelled B-A-L-K-H. So you might not pronounce it Balkh, but I do. It's a place which is now in northern Afghanistan. And this king's name was Ibrahim ibn Adam. Ibrahim ibn Adam. You know the guy, don't you? Of course you do. This king was very wealthy by earthly measures, but he also sincerely strove to be spiritually wealthy as well as his earthly wealth. So one night this king was roused from his sleep by a great stomping on the roof above his head. He was alarmed and he shouted out, "Who's there?" "A friend," came the reply. "I've lost my camel." This is on the roof, remember. The king was perturbed by this apparent stupidity and he screamed out, "You fool, you are looking for a camel on the roof?" And the voice came back, "You fool, are you looking for God in silk clothing and lying on a golden bed?" The story goes on, according to the Jesuit theologian Walter Burghardt, to tell how these simple words filled this king with such terror that he rose from his sleep and he eventually became a most remarkable saint. A saint being a holy person. The camel on the roof raises the epiphany question, where will you be looking for God, looking for the Messiah in the year 2011? Are you looking only where the world expects him to be, or do you look for Christ, the Messiah, in the unexpected of life? This compelling question of life rightly stands at the beginning of a new year. In the same way that the question, where did you find God in the past year, sits at the closing of the year. Our scripture readings today each raise the camel on the roof question, if you want to put it that way, in some form or other. Each is a reminder that God is not found where the world's princes, where the world's powers, and where the world expects to find him. The prophet Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you." And this applies when you seek him. I want to share another Arabic story with you related to seeking God. And it tells of a Mohammedan who died and left his 17 camels to be divided between his three sons. Now think about this. We've got 17 camels and three sons. Do the math in your head as we go through. Son number one was to inherit 1/9 of the 17 camels. Son number two was to inherit half of the 17 camels. Son number three was to receive 1/3 of the 17 camels. You got this worked out yet? You'll have already calculated that 17 is not evenly divisible by 3. Hence the three sons argued long and loud about who was going to get how many camels. And in desperation they agreed to invite a certain wise man to come in and help them to decide. He was seated in front of the tent and his camel was tethered out back. And after he listened carefully to their case, the wise man took his own camel and he added it to the other 17 camels, making 18 camels. Now do the math. Son number one got 1/9 of 18 camels, so he got 2 camels. Son number two got half of the 19 camels, he got 9 camels. And son number three got 1/3 of the 18 camels, so he got 6 camels. Now add them together. 17 camels. So the wise man got his own camel back. Many people try to find God in logic and in calculating schemes that we all receive our fair share of everything. But people will not find God in logic. God does not work by our standards of logic and calculation and everything working out. He doesn't work that way. God is found in receiving, not in grasping, in giving, not in claiming our rights. That's not how God works. But there are a lot of people in the world who believe that they can earn God's grace by climbing the ladders of success or power or respectability. The Epiphany message is that God is found in the humble areas of life, in the humility of birth, in a stable. God's most powerful work in human life is to become human. And in coming human, God can relate to we humans in a one-to-one basis. God has been there. God has walked this life. God has lived this life as we live it. And if we care to share it with God, he can help us through anything. God uses what the world regards as small to shine his most powerful light into the lives of all people. Those who are either small people, little people, or powerful people and large people. Louis Castles was a nationally known religious reporter. And he had what became known as his famous parable of the birds. It was Christmas Eve, and the man's wife and children were getting ready to go to church. He wasn't going. I simply can't understand what Christmas is all about, he said. This claim that God became man. Didn't understand it. But he had no problem with them going. It had been snowing all day, and it began to snow even harder as the wife and the children rode off to church without him. So he drew his chair up to the fireplace and he began to read. In a short while, there was a thudding sound at his kitchen window. And when he went to investigate, he found a flock of birds out in the backyard. And when he investigated, he found that these birds had been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they were trying to fly through the window into the light and into the warmth. He was a kind man, so he tried to think of something that he could do so that these birds wouldn't freeze. Then he thought of his old barn. That would be a nice shelter for them. So he put his coat on and his overshoes and he tramped out through the deepening snows and he went out to the old barn and he threw open the doors and he turned the lights on, but the birds didn't come in. Food will bring them in, he thought. So he went into the house and he found the breadcrumbs and he sprinkled a trail from there where they were to the barn. Didn't work. The birds continued to ignore the breadcrumbs and they continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. He tried shooing them in and they shooed all right, all over the place, all directions, but not into the warmth of the barn. So he thought to himself, they obviously find me a strange and terrifying creature. And I can't seem to think of any way to let them know of some way that they can trust me. He was puzzled. He felt dismayed. And as he pondered this thought, he said, if only I could become a bird myself. Perhaps I could lead them to safety. If only I could become a bird myself. And just at that moment, the church bells pealed and rang out the glad tidings of Christmas. And the man stood silently for a moment, and then he sank to his knees in the snow, and he said, now I understand. He whispered this as he lifted his eyes to the sky. Now I see why you had to become man. This man did not reject Christ. He had been attempting to understand God and God's actions in Christ by using human logic, by trying to divide the 17 camels between three guys. But the Lord says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Logic will never ever bring out an understanding of God's ways, for God acts in mercy and in grace. And God's mercy and grace frequently defy logic. It is by God's mercy and grace that he forgives our confessed sins. He restores us to his glorious love and acceptance. And he looks to us, to you and I, to reflect his glorious love to those whom we encounter in his name. May God bless and protect your homes, your families, and our church family in this year of 2011. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, we first of all stand and sing to God's glory. 567, Another Year is Dawning.
Father, let it be.
be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer to be God's people.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.